From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, the C-Scope controversy. Is it an education resource designed to help struggling school districts, or is it a vast anti-American conspiracy that uses Texas classrooms to convert our children to Islam and communism?
Like many witch hunts, they don't end until somebody is burned at the stake. And the biggest critics of C-Scope right now are looking for a witch to burn.
Also, what the Supreme Court cases on same-sex marriage means for Texas. This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Lumberton, Texas is about 10 miles north of Beaumont, and last month there was a packed and tense school board meeting. The parents of Lumberton ISD had heard about a high school social studies lesson where the girls in the class were photographed wearing burqas. The stated objective of the lesson was to teach about other cultures and religions, but that's not how many parents saw it. They recognized this as another example of how C-Scope is being used to indoctrinate our school children to become anti-American and pro-Islam. Even though the burqa lesson plan was not part of C-Scope, it's become a poster child for the case for the controversial State Bank of Online Lesson Plans. Since then, the Texas Education Agency has launched an investigation into the burqa incident, and it joins the growing drumbeat from Texas conservative bloggers about C-Scope. The State Board of Education is reviewing it, the State Attorney General Greg Abbott is investigating it, and the chair of the Texas Senate Education Committee, Dan Patrick, has appeared on the Glenn Beck program denouncing C-Scope. Dan Quinn is the communications director for the Texas Freedom Network. He is calling the C-Scope mania that has hit Texas a witch hunt. Quinn says C-Scope is used by 80% of the school districts in Texas, and it is a valuable education tool.
C-Scope is a curriculum management tool that school districts use across the state to help cover all of the curriculum standards that have been passed by the State Board of Education. It's been created through a collaboration of education service centers. The state set up those centers in the 1960s to provide services to school districts, and among those services now is C-Scope. It includes sort of guided, you know, here are some lesson plans, here's a way to hit the standards that the State Board has passed, and they also provide some sample lessons for school districts.
I've seen it described as if a child transfers from one school district to another, then there's some consistency. It's a way to help school districts to develop what they're supposed to be doing and what they're supposed to be teaching.
I think that's about right. I think it provides some uniformity to how the standards are covered from school district or from school to school. There's some teachers who don't particularly like it because they find it a little too rigid. They don't really like to use it that way. They want to bring in their own materials, and as I understand it, they can do so. But there are other teachers who have said it's been a lifesaver for them in the classroom. It's provided them materials they otherwise couldn't get. It's provided them some guidance they otherwise couldn't get. It's been particularly useful, I think, for small districts that don't really have budgets to create administrative curriculum teams there. And so this program from the education service centers actually saved them money and time, saved the taxpayers money, essentially, by coming in and providing these services so that a school district has these materials available to them without having to go out and hire a curriculum staff themselves.
I imagine it would be really helpful for a really small school district, particularly in these rural areas.
That's exactly right. It's been particularly helpful for them. As it's been explained to me, those school districts tend to be helped quite a bit. But I think you also see some larger districts using it as well. It's just a good way for them to look at how they cover all these curriculum standards, because the State Board is in the process of revising all of its curriculum standards for all of the core courses throughout the state. So we've already seen them change the standards on language arts, science, social studies, and math. And that's what C-Scope is designed to help school districts cover.
And so this has been going on for years. This is not brand new, but up until recently, I'd never heard of C-Scope. It's been one of these, I guess, just been doing its thing and no problems up until now.
Yeah, last fall we began to see sort of a email campaign, internet campaign to draw attention to C-Scope from folks who believe that have come to believe, in any case, that C-SCOPE is somehow promoting Marxism, Islamic radicalism, anti-Americanism, anti-Christian lessons throughout schools in Texas.
Some of these critics of C-SCOPE are saying that this is an organization that operates in secret, that there's never been an open meetings posted or an agenda posted of C-SCOPE. But I think there is no C-SCOPE organization, right?
No. As I understand it, they created a nonprofit that was not even really staffed, doesn't even get money. They created it to protect the materials in C-SCOPE, the intellectual property. Because, you know, there are a lot of private companies that create educational materials that they sell to school districts. And this was one way, since it requires money to create C-SCOPE, it's one way to protect the intellectual property that they do create. So they do have that nonprofit entity, although I think they've now agreed to disband that. I think that from the very beginning, there were some concerns that parents didn't have sufficient access to the materials, that teachers felt, some teachers, but certainly not all, felt they weren't free to share the instructional materials with parents. To the extent that there were problems with transparency or concerns about transparency, to the extent that there were concerns about even just the quality of some of the lessons, you know, maybe there were factual errors or perhaps there were grammar problems, I don't know. But to the extent that there were legitimate concerns about transparency and quality of content, that's been overshadowed in many ways by this almost hair-on-fire hysterics about some of the lessons themselves, the suggestion that they are promoting Marxism and Islamic radicalism. It just, on its face, that just seems rather strange in a state as conservative as Texas. It's hard to believe that hundreds of public and private schools in Texas have chosen to use a curriculum that does that.
Glenn Beck, the talk show host, has jumped on the C-SCOPE issue and has said that it is part of this thing called Agenda 21, which is this United Nations program that's supposed to start this one world government and take away our personal property rights.
Yeah. In many ways, that's an example of how this has become kind of McCarthyism on steroids. We have people who aren't dealing a lot with facts here, and the facts they think they're dealing with, they've distorted so much that it's just really hard to know what's true anymore. Many of the lessons or the examples that they've used to portray these as pro-Marxist or pro-Islamic, when you really look at the lessons, they're anything but. Perfect example was they claim that a lesson on early Christianity portrays Christians as cannibals and members of a cult. They claim this because there's links to the lesson to documents and books that actually talk about this. But in fact, what those books talk about is that's how the early Romans saw the early Christians. They saw people talking about eating the body and blood of Christ and thought these are cannibals. They saw this very small religious sect coming out of the Middle East and thought, this looks like a cult. That's the way they tried to discredit Christianity from the very beginning. C-SCOPE is not calling Christianity cannibalism or a cult. They're talking about how early Romans saw Christianity. In those kinds of ways, you've seen lessons distorted by a lot of C-SCOPE critics in a number of forums, at the State Board of Education and the legislature, and in, you know, Tea Party and social conservative groups that meet all around the state to discuss this. And certainly on the internet and in emails, they're just flying around.
Will this actually impact, you know, public policy?
Well, unfortunately, there are some elected officials who have decided to buy into some of this, whether it's because they actually believe a lot of the complaints or if they see that this is a good way to build up their support among certain voters. We now have Senator Dan Patrick, the chairman of the Senate Education Committee, has been holding hearings on this and has proposed legislation to put C-SCOPE under the authority of the State Board of Education, which is probably one of the most highly politicized bodies in the state already. We have Attorney General Greg Abbott apparently now saying he's going to launch an investigation into C-SCOPE. This is all a very strange approach.
So let me ask, what is Greg Abbott investigating?
That's what I think a lot of people would like to know. It seems rather alarming that an elected official, the chief law enforcement officer in the state of Texas, suggests that the educators who have been working on these curriculum materials for hundreds of school districts across the state have been involved somehow in legal improprieties, when the harshest critics have been saying the same thing, and now an elected official adds some credence to that, and yet has provided no evidence to suggest that that's really true. If there are problems with legal improprieties, certainly the Attorney General should investigate that. But we would hope that our elected officials would be a bit more responsible than to go out and lend credence to rumor mongering and unsubstantiated smears. And that seems to be really the direction that we're moving right now. This is in many ways like many witch hunts. They don't end until somebody is burned at the stake. And the biggest critics of CSCOPE right now are looking for a witch to burn. And it's unfortunate when elected officials buy into that too, without any substantiation or evidence to support it.
So are we looking at like the acorning of CSCOPE, where it just becomes a bad word, and regardless of the facts on the ground, that the state will abandon it, and this program, which has for years provided a valuable service, will have to go away or be reinvented?
It's quite possible. It's very clear that hundreds of school districts find the program valuable to use. It's very clear that a number of private schools and charter schools in the state find the program of value for their classrooms. It would be sad if politics has now gotten so bad in this state that we're throwing out programs that so many schools and teachers have found useful.
Dan Quinn is the communications director for the Texas Freedom Network. He defends CSCOPE, which is under fire by conservatives in Texas. They say it's part of a massive conspiracy to indoctrinate Texas school children to be anti-American and pro-Islam. The battles over CSCOPE are being fought in PTA meetings and ISD board meetings across Texas, and parents are leading the charge. Parents like Eileen Levy. She is a stay-at-home mom in Wichita Falls and calls herself not an activist, but a concerned parent concerned about CSCOPE.
CSCOPE is something that I feel like is being forced upon us, and I don't feel like we have any, it's being presented as though we don't have a choice, and I don't like that helpless feeling. So, and I don't like people making me feel helpless.
So how did you first hear about CSCOPE?
Well, I heard about it late last year and out of the newspaper here, the Times Record News. We have a local reporter who was doing some stories, and it caught my interest. And
well, what was it about then, it? What did she write? What caught your eye?
Oh, really, it was the controversial lessons, the content of those controversial lessons that a lot of the world or nation has heard about by now, but I have to say that there was a little bit of doubt in my mind, like, is this really happening? Are they blowing it out of proportion? I wasn't really completely sold. But then earlier this year, I went to a presentation on CSCOPE, and as I was sitting there, reality just slapped me in the face that this is happening in our communities, and specifically my community, Wichita Falls. And I was very afraid because my daughter is about to start kindergarten in the fall. And it led me to feel extremely helpless, extremely scared, and extremely angry. And that just prompted me to do my own research and get in touch with other people. And it just one thing led to another. And here we are.
So you see CSCOPE as this secretive organization that is trying to put anti-American information in every school classroom in Texas?
I definitely think that there is an anti-American slant to it, and that does bother me. That bothers me a great deal, the anti-Christianity slant. That bothers me. Those things are what lured me into the research. But as I started to research, I started noticing that, oh, for instance, locally, our test scores have declined steadily since CSCOPE has been introduced to the Wichita Falls ISD, and that was back in 2009. Rankings in the state were dropping, and that is a trend nationwide. That is something that I saw and have discovered in my research, and that bothers me a great deal.
So that sounds like there are two things that you don't like: this anti-American information in there, as some people see it. And then you see it also as being ineffective and not providing a quality education.
That is exactly right. That is exactly right.
Okay, well, I'm going to get back to this thing you said that you see it as anti-Christian. So can you explain to me what you mean by that?
Oh, there have been reports about different lessons referring to Christianity as a cult, or that Christianity was founded by a couple of cult members. You know, we are not allowed. I'm a Christian woman, and I have to say that, sadly, I have given up on Christianity being introduced into the education system. I've given up on that years ago. It's something that I have accepted, and I realize, and I'm fine with the fact that my daughter is going to have to develop her Christian principles based on how she's raised here. Okay, we are in charge of that, and I'm fine with it. But if they are going to exclude Christianity and what it is about, and if they are going to misrepresent Christianity, then why so much importance on Islam, which C-Scope does have a very heavy Islam slant to it? You can not only learn what Islam stands for, but they in their lesson plan that covers Islam, you will learn what is in the Quran. They have nothing like that about the Bible in the Christianity portion, but you have several verses at least of what is in the Quran. And then I've also seen reports where there are lessons on how to convert to Islam. Why do our children need to know these things? How is that going to make them more academically competitive when they get out of high school, if they choose to do a technical trade? Or how is that going to make them get into a better college? Not one lesson in C-Scope has been reviewed. There's not a review panel on what they are putting in these lessons, like, let's say, a textbook. You know, when they print out a textbook, I mean, they have to, all the information has to be verified, that it's factual and that it's not slanted. And they don't have that process for C-Scope. So let's just say that you have a school that is using it as a tool. They don't use it as their main curriculum, and they don't have to, you know, teach by it every day. You can have a teacher that can pick and choose what they want, but how can we trust the teacher that the teacher is not going to pick these anti-American lessons?
So you're
There's
saying
no
that,
assurance of that.
So you're saying that the textbooks that we use in our public schools, there's a very rigorous and robust way to review these, and the parents look at the textbooks and get and are supposedly getting an idea of what's happening in the classroom through the textbooks. But C-Scope doesn't have that review, and that the teachers could just put the textbook to the side and just teach C-Scope, and the parents would never be none the wiser.
That's exactly right. And you did make a good point, whereas with textbooks, the parents, we have a very proactive approach to what our kids are learning. And with C-Scope, they could be teaching them all day long all this nonsense, and I'll learn about it down the line, but it leaves me with just a reactive approach to my daughter's education.
Okay, so do you think that C-Scope should be completely scrapped? Do you think that there's any Oh, you do?
I do.
Okay.
So far, I haven't seen any redeeming qualities. What I hear, first of all, they like to talk about all these teachers that just love it. And I'm sure that there might be some teachers who do like it and like to use it as a tool or a crutch. But one thing I want to point out is that when administrators hire these teachers, they're hiring these teachers that they know who have been trained to teach and to develop curriculum. And I'm not necessarily sure that they need the tool.
You told me earlier that you're going to get signs made, and you really want people to learn more about C-Scope.
There is a strong campaign locally to get C-Scope out. It's up for renewal in June in the Wichita Falls ISD, and there is a strong local campaign to get it out. I have decided to buy some yard signs, and they're going to be put up across the town, and that will pique people's interest and maybe it'll prompt someone to do what I did and look it up online, or they can contact us through my email. But anyway, parents learn what their children are being taught in school. We just too often blindly hand over our kids in good faith that they're going to be getting the best education possible and an unbiased education. And that's just not happening right now.
What do your signs say?
Well, they will say, say nope to C-scope.
Say nope to C-scope.
Yes.
And that's your email address, say nope to C-scope at AOL.com.
That's it.
Do you think how we got here that, I mean, there are some people who think that this is part of a giant nefarious plot, and then, or do you think that this is misguided?
I do believe that there is a huge agenda in C-scope. Otherwise, why were they so secretive? Why the non-disclosure signatures from teachers? Why the lack of transparency for the parents? Why did they come in as saying that they were providing educational materials rather than we are a learning curriculum? Why did they illegally sign up as a nonprofit? There's just too many unanswered questions, too many things I do not trust. I do think that they have an agenda.
Eileen Levy is working to rid Texas of C-scope, an online education resource for Texas school districts across the state. Critics say it's teaching anti-American ideas and it's part of Agenda 21, which they say is a global plan to take away property rights and give the United Nations control over the United States. This was a historic week for gay rights. The U.S. Supreme Court heard two landmark cases regarding same-sex marriage. But if the High Court rules in favor of marriage equality, what would it mean for Texas? Amy Stone is a professor of sociology at Trinity University in San Antonio. She's an expert on the gay rights movement and the author of Gay Rights at the Ballot Box, which focuses on how activists in political campaigns fight anti-gay initiatives.
Well, I've been on kind of on edge for the last 2 days because I've been listening to the transcripts, the audio, oral arguments online, and reading the transcripts online, and also reading a lot of legal commentary and chatting with colleagues across the country about the consequences of the arguments, and listening probably a little too carefully as to how the justices might be ruling, which is a little deceptive because how the justices ask questions during oral arguments is not always indicative on how they're going to rule. So it's been a lot of speculation, and I've definitely been a part of that.
And
so yes, definitely on edge.
So as you watch and listen and read and dissect, as a sociologist, what are you looking for?
Well, one of the things I'm very interested in some of the ballot measures that led to these Supreme Court cases. So I'm very interested in Proposition 8. So one of the things that I've been looking at is how the court is deciding, trying to make a decision about whether or not to overrule a public vote on same-sex marriage. So courts in general are very hesitant to overrule the electorate.
Yeah, so the judges seemed really hesitant to even enter into the argument. But when it came to the following day, where they were talking about the DOMA, the federal government's Defense of Marriage Act, they were more willing to say, we can get involved here.
Yes. And I think because there are sort of states' rights, federalist intervention issues with the DOMA case, and that they're really talking about a federal law that has been created that gives some people benefits and other people not benefits based on whether or not they're a same-sex or different-sex relationship. And so I think because of the federal law, they're much more engaged, right, in terms of their interest in changing the law, it seemed. I mean, my best guess is that the DOMA ruling is going to be perhaps the more dramatic one.
Yeah. So if you had to make a guess, I would say they're going to figure out a way to sidestep Prop 8, but they will probably do something pretty hard on DOMA.
I think I would go and find a bookie for that one because I really think that that's the way they're going to rule. They have a couple of different options for Prop 8. For example, they could rule that there's no jurisdiction and sort of bump it back to the courts from which it came, in which case Proposition 8 would be overturned. So that would actually be a positive outcome for the LGBT movement. But I think in DOMA, I think there's a good chance that they will rule to give federal benefits to individuals with same-sex marriage. at least in states where those are recognized.
Right, and that brings us to Texas. So if that happens where the Supreme Court says we're not going to really get involved in Prop 8 because that's in California and it was a vote, but DOMA, that's a federal thing, what happens to Texas?
Well, Texas has in its state constitution, and I'm certain you know this, it has a same-sex marriage ban that was proposed by the legislature and passed by voters a couple years ago. So in Texas, the state does not recognize same-sex marriage. So you can't get married in Texas, but you also can't go to California or Washington or Maine or someplace where it's legal and come back to Texas and have it be recognized. So I think in many ways, DOMA will not affect Texas. They're very clear when they were asking questions that they were talking about individuals in states where same-sex marriage was acknowledged.
Yeah, but the federal government can be real aggressive when it wants to on certain issues. And this is a civil rights issue. Maybe they'll say when it comes to things like Social Security or working for the federal government, now that you can extend those benefits to a same-sex partner.
I think that even in Texas. I would love it if they rule that way, right? Like I don't know if they will, because particularly since Edie Windsor, she was in a state where it was legal to be same-sex married in that state.
Right. She had gotten married.
Yeah. She had gotten married. She got married in Ontario, granted, but she was recognized by New York as being legally married. So I don't know if they'll take that step, but I think if they did, I think that would be very interesting. I mean, right now, same-sex marriage law is just – like I was saying to some friends, it's just a hot mess because you have people who can be legally married in certain states, but they don't have federal recognition. But if they go to another state, if they move or they travel, it's not recognized there. And it's just a sort of patchwork of just messiness. I think that would add an extra layer of complication that could be legally very interesting, right? So if I go to Washington and get same-sex married and I come back to Texas, do I have access to federal benefits? Texas itself doesn't have to acknowledge my same-sex marriage, but does the federal government have to? And I'm not a legal scholar. I'm a sociologist, but I think that would be a really interesting situation.
So as a sociologist, can you speculate, like, if that were to happen and we started to see, people across the nation, not in Texas, but be able to establish same-sex marriages and not a crumbling society, then maybe people here would be more willing to accept it?
Well, there is this large-scale demographic shift in terms of the acceptance of same-sex marriage. If you look at polling results, essentially like an additional 2% of the population supports same-sex marriage every year. And there were some great projections by Nate Silver that in, I think it's 2020, enough Texans would support same-sex marriage, if things continue as they have, to rescind the existing same-sex marriage ban. So I do think that's also a factor here that probably will happen is the DOMA is overturned and then an increasing number of states are going to get rid of these same-sex marriage bans and are going to legalize same-sex marriage until there's sort of a critical mass of those states.
Amy Stone is a professor of sociology at Trinity University in San Antonio. She's an expert on the gay rights movement and the author of Gay Rights at the Ballot Box. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. If you want to send us your comments, email them to me at texasmatters@tpr.org. Or you can go to our website, tpr.org, and comment right there. That's also where we have past Texas Matters programs that you can listen to. And you can download the show's podcast on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.